Please return to your 75-year-old chairs, and we will begin with facilities.
All you have to do is say your first and last name and what your title is. You're on. Let me just say one thing. Facility is page 30. I'm sorry, page 18 in the white book, page 6 in the OTR book.
Hi, my name is Arel Lamaro with the Facilities Division, and this is a presentation on facilities. I added a little color, although it's not showing it too well, and when I was doing the presentation, I have a 13-year-old daughter. She loves doing PowerPoints, and she didn't help me on this one, but she asked if she could help me and add music to this, and I didn't do that. our taste in music is a little different, but I knew this is your fourth session. I thought I'd add music, or she thought that might help.
Oh, I agree.
Next year, please do.
So what I did do was add some animation. The Facilities Division is the division of Public Works Department, and the services we provide include engineering, maintenance, and cleaning services for our county facilities. And these include like planning, design, construction management, contract administration of our operations and capital projects, as well as cleaning, maintenance, and repair and renovation of our county-owned facilities. FTEs budgeted have not changed in the last 5 years, 31 and a half. The half position is a seasonal position that we hire in the summer to do our grounds work. The utilities, appropriations, and revenues. We have two budgeting units in our division. One is utilities, rents, taxes, and insurance. And these are the appropriations and revenues there. As you see, they've been increasing. Some of the jump between 2009 and 2010, because we've figured in some rent for Office of the Aging. We're looking at having Office of the Aging move out of this building, and so there was some rent included there. Also, utility rate increases, and also many of you may be aware that NYSEG imposed a 2% surcharge on electric and gas, so that's reflected here, and increases in rent as well. The revenue, just that little red bar, is we get $28,500 from the airport. When we did the energy performance contract back in 2006, we're paying the entire debt service, so the airport reimburses us for their portion of the improvements that were done at the airport. These are just slides showing the electric consumption data. This is for electricity. 2005 was prior to us embarking on any energy improvement measures. So as you see, there is a drop as you go from 2005 to subsequent years. Electric-wise, we probably saved about 13 to 15% in electric consumption as a result of the energy performance contract. The slight, as you see, there's consumption has stayed fairly stable, although there are some increases because of just additional properties that we've taken on in rentals. That 2009 is a projected number. I think it's a pretty solid number. And what we're projecting for 2010 is the same amount. We're basically not increasing consumption, but keeping it stable. Natural gas, that is actually, you can see a more significant reduction in consumption. 2005, as I said, was before we embarked on the energy performance improvement measures. And so you see quite a drop. It was more of like a 25% reduction in natural gas consumption. And actually for next year, unlike the electric, we're actually projecting that our consumption will decrease by 5%. This is the appropriations and revenues for our operating budgeting unit. And as you see, you know, back in 06, it was low, and it started to increase with a peak in 2009 and then a decrease in 2010. Most of that is because of the budget reductions. The actual reduction was more in the 9% reduction in our budget. Highlights for this year, successfully managing the Health Department building project, on track to obtain a LEED Silver for that building. We've got a very competitive bid for the main courthouse stair project, and most of you had to use either the handicapped entrance or the back entrance because of the work that's being done in the front. So the bid actually came in about half of what was estimated. Also, which has really helped me and my family is very grateful, is that we've been able to recruit a well-qualified and experienced assistant director. So I'm not working as long hours and seeing my family more often. And also, the last bullet is continued savings being achieved from our energy performance contract with Johnson Controls. So that's been very successful for us. Pressure points, the mounting unmet deferred maintenance expense, that's starting to mount. The what had been budgeted, that has been eroded as a result of the budget reductions. And you'll see that in subsequent slides. Also, utility rate increases. Budget proposal. We did have an over target, although you wouldn't see it because we used rollover. We requested $155,807 as an over target, but we had rollover to match that amount. So in the requested amount, it's showing zero, but in effect there was an over target that was matched by rollover. The tentative budget, when I presented the budget to the county administrator, we were only asking for $155,000, but in the last 3 years, we've had $400,000 for deferred maintenance. Our county administrator basically increased that over target to $300,000. And so that's kind of the net effect between that and also reduction in rent for Office of the Aging. In order to meet the 2010 budget, we basically eliminated $150,000 of the deferred maintenance target funding that had been accumulated over 3 years. This legislature approved $50,000 per year over 3 years. And in order to reduce, that 9% was equivalent to about $195,000, and that's where the majority of came from it was in deferred maintenance. 20% was reduction in funding for building repairs, which was $40,000, and then there were minor reductions in either overtime training equipment and cleaning supplies. The over-target request, number 11, is for deferred maintenance funding, one time of $300,000. Rollover is $155,000, so really the local share is $144,000. And this OTR would be used for replacement of systems or building components that exceeded their service, or their design life. And the priority will be given because we have much more in deferred maintenance than $300,000. But the priorities will be given to life safety and legal compliance items and items that have to do with damage or deterioration of facilities. So life safety would be fire alarm systems, any safety issues that we have to deal with in our buildings. Damage or deterioration could be roof repairs, sidewalk repairs. We have received notices from the city and some of our properties for sidewalk repairs, so those types of things would fall under these two categories. This is a little explanation about the over-target request. As I indicated before, the budget reduction imposed in the 2010 budget basically eliminated the $150,000 of target funding that had been built up over the last 3 years. And over the past 2 years, an OTR has been submitted for deferred maintenance in the amount of $400,000, which has been approved by the legislature, which is a combination of one-time and target funding. There's usually a $50,000 target portion, and the balance was in one-time funding. However, this year's OTR request, we used rollover to restore that target funding that had been lost as a result of budget reduction. And in addition, the county administrator recommended additional funding to bring that total request to $300,000. If the impact of not getting this over target funding, basically we're deferring, the deferred maintenance will start to accumulate and the deterioration of buildings will continue to accelerate, which will increase the probability of large unplanned expenditures, at which point we would have to approach the legislature for general contingency funding to address those issues. These are charts that I've prepared in the past that basically show in the last 10 years the kind of the green chart in the back shows the total area that we maintain. So back in 99, we maintained much less square footage than we do now at 427,000. So that square footage has increased. The orange one is the annual maintenance costs, which also have increased. But the more significant one to me is the yellow one, which is the square feet maintained per person. We have less staff. We have more square footage to maintain. So the square feet maintained per maintenance person is almost doubled. So basically, we're doing more with less staffing. And then this is one for the cleaning analysis, basically the same issue. Back in 10 years ago, each cleaner was basically cleaning about 16,300 square feet, which is about the industry standard. Currently, they're cleaning about 20,400 square feet. Over the years, as we've brought on new buildings, we haven't increased cleaning staff. We basically taking staff from other buildings, usually to the dismay of those department heads because they're losing a cleaner to basically clean other buildings, like emergency response center was one. Significant one was the mental health building where we had a contract with Challenge Industries. When that, because of budget cuts, we eliminated that contract, and rather than hiring additional cleaning staff to clean that building, we took cleaners from other buildings to clean the mental health building. So over the years, we have not increased our FTEs, but basically we've taken on more responsibility, more buildings, and accommodated that with existing staff.
Not that special.
I'm sorry, Pam, and then Mike.
I'm not sure I completely understand this money that's used for deferred maintenance. It was in the budget originally. I mean, that was in the target. It was in your target funding. And then it got taken out, and you've used part of it, rollover for part of it?
No, I had rollover from last year, 2008,
right,
that I applied towards the 2010 budget in the amount of $155,000 to help offset the budget cuts.
Right.
Put that towards deferred maintenance. So I had rollover. So my over-target request was equal the amount of the rollover that I had.
Okay, so you're asking for an additional $155,000.
No. The rollover.
I don't understand.
My over-target request was $155,807.
Right.
But I had rollover in that same amount, so basically zeroed it out.
Okay.
The county administrator
felt
because the level of funding that we've had over the last 3-4 years has been $400,000.
Right.
So he wanted to increase that the deferred maintenance funding to $300,000. I was only asking for $155,000, which I had rollover.
Okay, so he's adding in an additional $140,000
right,
as one time. Is
right.
that right?
Yeah, that's yes. Just bring it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Pam. Mike Plinkler.
So just to summarize, we're actually making a philosophical shift or policy shift for, in this hopefully short-term interim, stealing from Target, replacing with one-time, because we have one-time available. Is that sustainable? Sustainable is not the right word. Is that doable for you over the next year or possibly 2 years to get these allocations one time? The hope, obviously, is after 2 years, when things can stabilize again, we can begin to put things back into Target. Is that manageable from your department standpoint?
Well, we'll take whatever money you're willing to give us. As I said before, the $400,000 when we first came to legislature maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we were striving to get $400,000 as Target.
Yeah.
And what we came away with was $50,000 for that first year in Target. The balance was one time. And each year since then, it's been an additional $50,000. The balance is one time. So I'd hoped, but I never expected to get the full amount in Target. I think the challenge now is that we're back we're basically starting over again from one-time funding. And so we can manage with what the $300,000, the projects we have, almost quadruple, what we're getting. But this is going to help to basically take care of the deferred maintenance that really needs to happen. Otherwise, then you get into a large capital project.
Yeah.
Get to a point where you have so many issues and maintenance to deal with, you would have a full-scale building renovation.
So your operative words for me were, we can manage with. But at the bottom of this slide and the bottom of the page in the PowerPoint is, priority funding will be given. And in the past, you've given us a very detailed list of what the life safety, legal compliance, and deterioration. It would be great if you can give us that list either again from last year, because it's probably very similar, or an updated list, so we know where this $300,000 in 2010 would attack.
Each year we have a plan, and at this time of the year, and then January 1st, that plan changes.
Yeah.
And the life safety and deterioration, those things we can't always plan for. Like this year, we had certain projects slated, and then we had failures of certain systems and buildings, which became the priority.
Yep.
So that there is a little flexibility we allow in the in for deferred maintenance funding. For instance, we have three buildings where we need to replace carpets, but we keep deferring that. That doesn't fall in either of those categories, but it could. It could become a safety issue, in which in certain buildings it has become, and we've replaced those sections of carpeting. But those are things that we keep deferring because there's just not enough money to do those things. But that's where we tend to hear from the departments. Those are the things that they see the most, the finishes in the building. So we get repeated requests from departments, human services building, mental health building, for instance, to replace carpets, and we say we just can't afford that. A carpet replacement in one building would take about 3/4 of $300,000, for a building of those sizes, it's a lot of money, which we just can't afford with the funding that we have.
Thank you.
Martha.
Thank you. To continue in this line, I'm a little confused about the 144. Is that going to be Target, or is that, because on page 23 in the white book, the big book, it's not clear.
My understanding, in my request, I wanted the 155 to be Target. The county administrator's recommendation is that $300,000 be one time.
Okay. And then if I can ask, going to your rollover sheet, you had $300,000 in 2008. That's kind of the rollover that you've used for this will be the second year now. So where did that's a good chunk of change. Where did that come from?
Well, this in the rollover you're talking about?
Yeah.
$300,000, we had this stair project was estimated at $300,000, actually a little more than that because we had some alternates. So we held that money over. The bids came in at about $140,000 plus we had contingency about $150,000, so it was about half. Now, some of the other bidders were at $300,000, but we had one local contractor that really sharpened the pencil, was really hungry to do the work, came in at $150,000, so We had the $300,000, which we had set aside and committed to that. We got the bid quite a bit lower, so 150 or 45 of that was put towards this contract, the courthouse stair repair. The balance is that 155.
Okay.
In road work.
Okay, and I'd be interested in, if I can, two other quick ones. In on the contracts, page 23, you've got Cougar Medical Center steam bills, and it's a fairly $11,000 in 2007, $39,000 in 2008, then $45,000, and then zero in 2010. Is that heating for the health department?
Yes.
And so that goes away.
Yeah, I mean the assumption made in my budget was that we would not be paying for any expenses associated with Bixby January 1st of 2010.
Right. And just one more. I'd be interested in the utility graphs are very interesting, the cost for the cost for utilities. It's of course, it would be nice if the numbers kept going down. So maybe if you can calculate, throw in your square footage, if you come back to us at some point, throw in, you know, what's the utilities per square foot? Are we just at a stable rate, or are we able to drop that any further?
Oh, yeah, the cost per square foot would be down. And we were trying to get below $2 per square foot. Each building, it varies by building, mm-hmm. on the age of the building, the systems that we have. But we have great staff. When we have a system failure or something fails, the first thing they think is, how can we come up with a system, think out of the box, that is more energy efficient? One good example, mental health building. The cooling tower failed there earlier this year, spring. We have another cooling tower that is made of sustainable materials. It's plastic versus steel. Mm-hmm. The warranty on the heat exchanger is 25 years versus 1 year. Plus, we've been able to save energy by putting it in a penthouse, it's a very small heat exchanger. Mm-hmm. And also, we put solar hot water. For hot water domestic, we're putting a solar panels on top, so it actually will be put in ahead of the health department. The health department was going to be our first building with domestic solar hot water, but we beat the health department project there. We also put as backup instantaneous hot water, so we're not using either electric or natural gas domestic hot water for heating.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
I can. Just to, I hope this, maybe this will be the last question about how much we're spending on deferred maintenance. We're matching what we did last year in 2010. In 2009 and 2010, we're going to be investing the same amount.
No, we're slightly low. This year it was $400,000 for 2009. Next year it's going to be $300,000.
Three, okay. My other question is there any relationship between your second to last graph that shows maintenance analysis and what we're investing in deferred maintenance?
Yes. This one? This one here?
Right.
Yes, the green, the orange,
yes.
Graph in the middle there. That's where you're seeing an increase in the investment in annual maintenance.
Okay, this shows us what we're investing. It doesn't show us what the need is.
Oh, no, yeah. Now, the need for this, for next year, is $890,000.
Has that number been increasing?
Yes, we deferred items from this year and from last year to later years. The big ones are roof replacements. I mean, that $200,000 can go very easily on a roof replacement. So what we've done is kept deferring those. We've got three buildings that exceed 22 years on as far as the roof. 20 years we try to replace them. Our warranties expire at 20 years. So those we keep pushing off additional years and just paying for repairs. The old libraries, one you may recall a few years back, There was funding requests. My recommendation is don't invest in the old library if we're looking at doing a project there in, you know, 5 or 6 years. So roof replacements are ones that we can tend to defer and just keep our fingers crossed that, you know, through just repairs, it'll hold up. Also system replacements, rooftop units. We've had this year to replace cooling towers, $75,000. A rooftop unit for a building this size could be $30,000 to $40,000. So those are areas where we take some, you know, a little of a gamble. They're not life safety, but when you lose heating in the wintertime, yes, it becomes an issue because we can't, you can't have employees working in the building if you don't have any heating. So, yeah, $300,000 isn't enough, but I think we've managed pretty well so far.
I guess, you know, if I've got this somewhere, just tell me to read my stuff. At what rate are we falling? Do you have something that says how fast we're falling behind, or how fast our deferred maintenance is growing that we're not catching up, or we are catching up? Well, like over the last 5 years, has that list been growing at 20% a year? Or?
Yeah, I think 400 wasn't enough.
Right.
I think it's helped greatly. What we should be reinvesting is about 2% of the total cost of our facility. So I figure $60 million and 2% is $1.2 million. So if you kind of do the math at $400,000, so...
Three times what we're doing.
Yeah, so it's not as bad as three or four. But
so it's getting worse every year.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why the county administrator... I mean, I was basically saying, you know, it's a tough budget year. You know, it's going to be tough for 2010, but by doing so, by moving forward to just $155,000, it's just going to get worse in the out years. And so you're not, it may be almost double what we're looking at spending now, because we've been fortunate this year, and we hope next year, getting good bids on work. Contractors are very competitive.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the budget magic here that you've wrought. What are we losing? If staff is holding steady at 31.5, and utilities, although we've saved in amount we're using, the costs are going up, and maintenance, we're talking about only $100,000 difference. What is it that we're... There must be a bigger amount that we're somehow not... that we spent in 2009 that we're not having to spend in 2010. Change. Was it the cost of the...
Change from target to one time is huge.
Well, that's $155,000. But somehow, I think there's something more like $500,000 or $600,000 that somehow we're... you've absorbed into the budget because the fringes
are
there.
Yeah, the reduction... As I indicated in the beginning, we have two budgeting units. One of the budgeting units, which is utilities, back a few years after I arrived here, I requested that we separate the utilities from our operating because we have little control over utilities and rates. So that budgeting unit is almost held harmless. If we spend less than what was budgeted, that money goes back to the general fund. It wasn't always the case before. If we went over, it would come out of our operating. So really on the maintenance side, the reduction indicated was about 9%, which is about $190,000-some. That was taken up mostly by, you know, basically reducing the deferred maintenance, that $150,000 that had been built up in target over the last 3 years. In order to make that up, I used the rollover request of $155,000 or over target, and I had $155,000 in rollover, not just one time. County administrator wanted to bring the total up to $300,000. So $144,000 is additional one-time funding for deferred maintenance. The cut in our operating side was $40,000 in building repairs. It's usually been $200,000, so we're down to $160,000. Most of the deferred maintenance is done through contracts. They tend to be larger projects, ones that we couldn't do in short periods of time with existing staff. So like a cooling tower replacement is contracted, the roof replacement is contracted, fire alarm system installation is all contracted work. So the work that's done in-house is out of our building repairs account, which is for next year is $160,000.
Okay, and are we seeing any trend in the cost of labor in those contracts?
Well, the last year it's been actually good. The bids have come in quite a bit lower. We expect that to somewhat continue next year.
Julie.
Thank you. The rent, which is in utilities, is just there because you handle it. You don't set the rents. And the county administrator is proposing to take the rent for COFA out of that budgeting unit, assuming that he'll be able to come up with a plan to put the Office for the Aging in the Human Services building or some other kind of musical chairs. I am very uncomfortable accepting that as part of this budget document, since I don't know what the plan is, and I don't like to see that rent just vanish. I think that we have other alternatives for COFA which may be permanent in a way that the Human Services building may not be. Last year at budget time, we were uncomfortable seeing apparent decisions made about defense of indigence built into the budget. I'm uncomfortable seeing decision about COFA built into the budget similarly. So that's, I don't think that's in your hands at all. It's really the county administrator's portion of the budget decision. With respect to deferred maintenance, did you discuss at all giving your rollover back to, so it would be a Tyler, it would be rollover, and you'd get Target instead?
Yeah, that was my request.
So you did discuss that, and that was said, and he said no. I guess I would rather see us as a legislature consider that, to give back the rollover and to not decimate Target for deferred maintenance. It's only going to get worse and worse.
Excuse me, I think...
I don't have a question because the dollars are there.
I think that what you're actually doing is prepping for revisit meetings and voting meetings. That's my sense.
And so I'm looking forward to what Mike Kaplink-Allaire asked you for, which is the detailed list of deferred maintenance, so we will have something more to build a decision on.
Martha.
Well, something you said, Arel, about you looking forward to next year, you know, with the economy still sluggish, bids may also come in. Do you think it would make sense then if we could scrape together some additional one-time money, even if, I mean, that then some of these projects that are, you know, every 20 or 22 years, 25 years, the roofs, you might be able to knock a couple of those off for a smaller amount of money than, you know, is in a long-range plan? Is that something, in the same way that the stairs came in at a considerable
right.
savings, is that something that would make
yes.
sense? Okay. Thank you. Okay, so the detailed list then would...
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Rob.
All right, thank you.
Next on the list is Highway, page 25 in the budget book, page 8 in the OTR. And Bill is here. So thank you very much again. Hey, Bill. You say your name, person last name, and what your department's on.
I think everyone knows me here. I'm Bill Sesney, Highway Manager. It's good to be here tonight. How do you get the next one? Okay, the Highway Division, we maintain roads and bridges in Tompkins County, 305 centerline miles of road, 109 bridges. We have one bridge that's closed, Red Mill Bridge. We have around 3,500 culverts. We provide snow and ice operations on the 305 centerline miles of roads. Last year, we gave the state back their roads, the ones that we were doing. My FTE, as you can see, in 2005, which is not on this chart, the county legislature decided to expand the highway department. They added four positions, and they also added two trucks. Since then, in 2006, we had 57 three-quarters positions. Between 2006 and 2007, we lost a laborer position. Between 2007 and 2008, there was a half cleaner position that was not included in the 2007 budget. Between 2008 and 2009, because we gave up the state routes, we lost one half cleaner position and one half laborer position. 2009 to 2010, this last year I've had a motor equipment operator and a heavy equipment operator position become vacant, and I elected not to fill those seats. Basically, that works out to be somewhere around $111,000. As you can see, we're trying to, as we get down between 2008, 2009, 2010, we're trying to basically tighten our belt. Here's a list of projects that we have completed in the 2009 construction season. Small culvert replacements. Small culverts are 30 inches and under. They're usually crossroad, or they could be driveway culverts. When we do roads, we completely, and these Hornbrook, Van Busker, Gulf, White Church, and Old 76, we upgrade a lot of the culverts. In the large culvert replacement, Van Kirk Road, that's a 10 by 2 foot 10 corrugated metal pipe that needs to be assembled. During the winter time, we have people out at the job sites, and they're erecting or assembling these pipes that we buy. We put two on Ringwood Road, and they were just recently completed. Van Ostrand Road, we had a 42 and a 72-inch road crossing pipes. As you can see on the right, it's the total cost of the installation of the pipes. Generally, these have been done by our own forces. South Danby Road is a large pipe. The cost of it was $94,000. We have not had an opportunity to put that in this year. That'll go on to next year's schedule. Major rehabilitation program. These are roads. Iredell is about a mile long. It's $195,000. Now, Old 76, these are roads that we did a recycling, a full-depth recycling process on it. We recycled the pavement and then put an overlay on it. And then we go and put oil and stone after it cures. The total that we've done on major rehab this year is $1.79 million on these six roads. Minor rehab projects, Jersey Road, Jersey Hill Road, Champlin Road, South Danby Road, and Brooktondale Road. Brooktondale Road was done by a contractor. It was a mill and fill. And South Danby Road was done by our own forces. Surface treatment program is basically a preventive maintenance. It's a chip seal or a slurry seal that goes over the road. As you can see, we've invested about $199,000 this year in the surface treatment program. Basically, it extends the life of the project or the road. Minor rehab projects, Mill Road and Old 76, those are two that that we've done. Mill Road was a basically a mill and fill. We retained the milled material to be used on shoulders next year. In the projects, major rehabilitation projects, these include not only pavement rehabilitation, but includes upgrading the drainage systems. It could be subsurface drainage. It could be the drainage systems along the highway. Then we go through and we rebuild the shoulders. So, in essence, it's a completely rehabbed road. In addition, we did a drainage project on East King Road, 620 feet of pipe with five catch basins. Basically, it was a project that was not on our radar screen. This spring, we started to see the pipes were caving in from deterioration in front of people's yards, and this is a project that had to be done this year. Bridge reconstruction, West Creek Road. We spent $345,000 on replacement of that structure. Bank stabilization project, we're working with County Soil and Water, and that was a minor project. Warren Road reconstruction, which is a federal aid project, is underway right now. Pressure points, in uncertainty of materials prices. To give you an example, last year we were paying $83 a ton for blacktop. This year we're paying $78. It's come down a little bit. Corrugated steel pipe, last year we were paying $22.50, and this year we're paying about the same. Full depth recycling that I mentioned for the rehab. Last year we were paying about $8.60 a square yard. This year it's come down to $4.35. Significant savings. Fuels, last year we were paying $4.27 for diesel. This year we're paying $2.23 for the same diesel, but the B20, which is the biofuel, we're paying $2.62 a gallon. There again, gasoline, we were paying $3.50 a gallon last year. This year we're paying $1.89. So it has come down in certain areas. Uncertainty of oil prices. I don't know where it's going to be 3 months from now. Budget proposal. Tentative budget, we've cut quite a bit. Basically, it's the unfunded MEO and HEO positions, and there's a reduction in the highway materials budget. As you can see, the administration suggested reducing our materials by $280,000. To give you a feeling of what that is, it's about 2.3 miles of pavement that's not going to be put down. We've got to cut somewhere, and in talking with the administration, they thought that the best place to put it would be in the materials. All I can say is that one of the things that this is going to impact is okay? We're trying to keep our pavement quality index, okay, at 7.5 or better. What this is going to do, it's going to reduce the maintenance we have on low-volume roads. It's going to be less paving on county roads, and we're going to be using more oil and stone as a preventive maintenance feature. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Mike, and then who's the next person, Dooley? Okay.
What's been happening with your... So your pavement quality index has been staying about the same?
It's been staying about the same. One thing about pavement quality, it consistently deteriorates, okay? When you put blacktop down, it's nice and black, okay? After 2 years, it starts to get light gray. That's basically oxidation. And when you get the oxidation, sometimes you get cracking, reflective cracks that come up through the surface, which allows water to get in. You see, many times we'll go out and we'll use crack sealing to extend the life of the roadway.
I guess what I'm saying is, even though you've experienced some pressure on your budget, you've been able to maintain your pavement quality index, which is an average across your entire road network.
Yes.
Truly.
Do you see that continuing with this changed budget?
I'm going to be putting less emphasis, less preventive maintenance on some of the lower volume roads.
Which count in the quality index?
Yes.
So it will begin to show.
Well, it's a constant deterioration, and every little bit does. The reduction in the materials budget will hurt the pavement quality index.
That's the other question I have. You, in your handout, say $280,000. I look in the big budget book at OTR 12, which was not your request. It's the number given to the OTR by the county administrator, and it's a reduction of $290,000. So there's a little discrepancy. I just...
It is $290,000. That was there.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me make one comment myself. Norm and I were looking at numbers, and over this budget over the last 2 years has lost nearly $800,000.
Yes.
Who's next?
How much?
$800,000.
It's not getting better.
Who had their hand up? What?
Well, that's true, but there's an interaction with the capital program also. But I was wondering, you're talking about the low volume roads. Do you ever, or could you, make a separate category for medium to high volume roads and see what the pavement index is on those? In other words, is there a, do you take into account, you know, maybe the lower volume roads are getting less attention, but by definition, there's less use of those. And where we may be most concerned about roads that have, higher volumes of traffic. Is it possible to separate out and come up with sort of two
yes,
indices?
We could. That's
okay.
Something we could do.
Okay, that'd be great. And one other question, and this has to do with gas drilling and truck traffic. And I'll tie it in. Okay. One of the concerns, a big concern about impending Marcellus Shale gas drilling is the huge amount of truck traffic that we will see. And there's the mitigation proposed is that the companies bond for in case there's damage to roads. I'm concerned, however, that let's say you reconstruct a road and it's got a 20-year lifespan and suddenly there's truck traffic from this, and a 20-year road is gone in 10 years, and maybe there's not a specific, catastrophic failure of the road while they're drilling, but clearly that traffic has shortened the lifespan. Do you have some way of...
Yes. According to AASHTO, American Association of State Highway Officials,
They have a certain formula that's called ESALS, equivalent single axle loading. And what that does is it says, okay, you've got this amount of traffic on this road at this frequency and weight, okay, over a period of whatever the time period is, okay, throwing it into this formula, it will allow you to say, okay, that amount of traffic at that weight has deteriorated this road by this amount. Now, to take it from there to where it was, it may say you need to put down an inch and a half of pavement to bring that back. So the amount of pavement that you need times the cost of putting the pavement in is the amount that you can charge the company. That's something that is accepted according to the AASHTO standards.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Good answer. Anyone else have any questions? Thank you, Bill. We have next airport. No OTR, page 39 of your budget book. Come right up here, Bob.
I have a very short presentation.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Major services. As most of you probably know, the airport has three major airlines operating to four northeastern hubs. And from those hubs, you can get to about 200 domestic and international destinations non-stop. In addition to that, we also service the needs of private and corporate aircraft. And that's an underappreciated part of what we do, but it's very important to this community. Also worth mentioning that the economic benefit from the airport is about $35 million a year. That's a pretty boring story there. hasn't changed much, even though we are under a lot of pressure from the FAA and the TSA. We managed to get through without adding to our staff. And since the arrival mainly of Continental last October, we've seen a huge increase in our passenger numbers. The arrival of Continental caused a tipping point, and the airfares came down considerably, which has resulted even in a recession of many of our passengers that formerly used to go to places like Syracuse, staying at home, flying from our airport, and as a consequence of that, our employments are running at about 25% over the same number last year. In 2009, we completed two major projects. After many years, we finally completed the third and final phase of the parallel taxiway relocation and extended the runway safety areas so that they both things now comply with federal regulations. And the other thing that we started this year, just started this month in fact, we have a meeting of stakeholders on Thursday this week which will be the kickoff meeting for the Green Master Plan. Needed investments for buildings and equipment. As a result of what seems to be an increase in the number of freezing rain days that we have, over the last few years we've noticed a lot more days when freezing rain has caused massive problems at the airport. We've finally come to the conclusion that we needed to do something major about that, and so as you may remember, you approved purchase of a runway de-icing equipment earlier this year, and next year we have to pay for the de-icing fluid that goes into that equipment, which sells at about $8 a gallon, and the minimum quantity is 4,000 gallons, so becomes a major purchase and requires us to deliberate very carefully when we use it. It takes about $8,000 to put down, so we want to be sure that we use it properly. We're continuing to rotate the carpeting and the furniture. The carpet that we're replacing, the furniture we're replacing next year, is on an ongoing basis and still constitutes furniture and carpeting that we had back in 1994 when the terminal opened. We need a new compressor in the CFR building. That's over 20 years old. And sounds like a small thing, tires for a ramp loader, but this is a huge ramp loader, and each tire to buy and fit is $4,500 each. So they're big tires. A couple of things that we've done. You know, one of the battles that I have, the biggest battle I have, is to try and keep the airline fees down. They're under a great deal of pressure, or we're under a great deal of pressure from them to maintain our fees as low as possible. And so we try and do whatever we can to keep our costs down. And so a couple of things that we're trying this year. One is, I mean, we really do need to have a second administrative person at the airport. I don't know any other airport of our size that manages to have to do all the things that need to be done there with just one admin person, and if I didn't have Roxanne Noble, I would certainly need two people. But recognizing that we have to keep our costs down, what we're trying to do this year is to, we budgeted for a month, and we're going to borrow somebody with admin skills from another department to use when Roxanne is on vacation and to help out with a couple of major organizational things that we need to do. And so we're just going to pay for that person. I'm not sure where that person's coming from, but I talked to the county administrator. He feels like we can borrow somebody from another department who will help them out with that fee as well. The other thing that we're doing is instead of buying a new vehicle, we're replacing it's a 1991 V8 Bronco, which we actually just let go last week. And instead of having that one-time hit on our budget, we've decided to see what it would be like if we lease a vehicle. It's a much smaller amount on the budget, and it also allows us to re-examine where we are in 3 or 5 years' time and maybe take advantage of better technology, maybe a vehicle that would be cheaper to run. So we're going to lease a vehicle instead of buying one. These are the airline rates and charges over the past 3 years. The way that the airlines look at the cost of going and operating from an airport is to work out the cost to them per passenger, per end plane passenger, number of passengers that board the aircraft in that location. We have endeavored, I'm going back a few years now, but at one point our cost per end plane passenger was in excess of $21, which is about three times the national average. So we've actually managed to bring it down to about twice the national average, and that's a function of our airline agreement. But as you'll see, we haven't increased the cost very much from last year to this year, even though we've added some additional costs in. And that figure of $14.83 per end plane passenger is based on the assumption of the same number of passengers in 2010 as there are expected to be in 2009. So if that number continues to go up as it's been for the last year, then that average fee per passenger will come down. And I'd like to finish on a positive note. This should be the 24th consecutive year where we haven't had to ask the local taxpayers for any money. And that's my presentation.
I'm assuming then there will be no questions. Are there any questions, Julie?
Bob, is there income from the Bronco you got rid of?
It went to an auction. I don't know what we got for it, but if we got anything more than about $100, I would be surprised.
I was just looking in the revenue line for it. I didn't see
any other
highway
questions?
Materials. You've budgeted a much larger amount than
the highway. That's the 32,000 that we'll need for the runway de-icing fluid, which we haven't ever bought before.
That's where that is. Okay, thank you,
Mike.
You, as an aside, you mentioned that you've been able to keep your staffing at the current level, but you've had pressure. You're getting pressure for employees for specific tasks or just the normal kind of regulatory burden and that sort of thing?
It's actually, it's the TSA. I hate to blame it all on them, but it is them. It's the TSA. They probably take up 70 to 80% of Tony Rudy's time. They keep coming up with new ways to foil terrorism, you know, which is their job. But there seems to be no recognition when they come up with new rules about how they expect airports of our size to be able to deal with that. So what's been happening is that because of the pressure on Tony, and he's the designated security coordinator, because of the pressure on him, he's offloaded some of his duties onto me and to Roxanne, which makes, you know, our job that much more busy. And as a result of that, when one of us goes on vacation, where formerly people would step in and help, you know, with the pile of stuff that was piling up when we were away, we can't do that anymore because we're just too busy. So that's where this utility person would come in to help out with vacation and to take care of things like the sorting out our filing system, which is overloaded right now.
Thank you. Martha.
On the airline rates and charges, $1.6 million last year, $1.5 million this year. I don't understand where that number comes from? Is it?
That's a compilation of rents in the terminal, landing fees based on the number of aircraft landing, and parking fees.
But our traffic has increased. Why are the fees going down?
The fees have gone down because we're not doing as much construction next year as we did this year. So the local amount that's gone in there, it's about 100 or 200,000 is all. I think that's about the only difference, is that we're doing less construction, so the local share is less next year than it was this year.
Oh, so that's calculated when you're doing a construction project, you're charging that off to the airlines. Okay, thank you. And in the big book, you've got page 44, your contracts. It looks like there are a couple places where there's new money going into marketing, and there's a marketing consultant, a new $20,000 air service development consultant, new $10,000, and an extra $15,000 going into marketing.
Yes, that's not exactly a true picture. For the past several years, we've had a government grant which has been used to pay for a marketing consultant and for a great deal of advertising. That doesn't exist next year.
So the level of activity is about the same, but...
Well, we've actually, this year, we budgeted a very small amount for marketing, and then realized that we had to bump it up, and I came to the F&I committee and asked for an additional $25,000 so that we could boost our advertising. Looking at 2010... we've anticipated that we're going to have to market more than we did this year. We're going to probably have Washington service, so we want to market that properly. The airlines don't spend any money on advertising in a small community, so you know we actually step in for them. So that's basically it.
Okay, and then the grant went away. So
yeah.
Okay, thank you,
Michael. Tom Santulli from Chemung County, who's now the president of NYSAC, is famous for taking kudos for new innovations that we've been doing for 20 years. I think we should actually develop a new enterprise from our enterprise unit and market Bob's services across upstate New York to see how every single other airport cannot have taxpayer funding go into their airports. This is a truly remarkable accomplishment, and I think you should do some training on that that aspect.
Well, and we actually, you know, that's one of the problems of not having any local input. I mean, there's a downside to it, and that is that our airline fees are twice probably what they are in Elmira.
Any other questions?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Mike stole a little bit of what I was going to say. It's hard to complain about a unit that's covering its own costs. so you do a great job. I have a question about the airline price of tickets. How are we doing? Do you track it? How do you track
yeah,
it?
Yeah, track
and
it every
how
month.
Are we doing versus other regional airports?
Well,
you know, every time I go, it's more expensive.
It's interesting because, as I said, when Continental came here last October, there was a tipping point and the airfares became a lot more competitive. And that's why local people started traveling a lot more from this airport instead of going to Syracuse. They run about, they're actually cheaper than Syracuse on the whole. From what I checked, there's no reason to go to Syracuse to take a flight, based on price anyway. And the other interesting thing is that Elmira airfares run at about the same rate as ours. They're almost identical to ours, and they are finding that their leaked passengers that used to go primarily to Rochester are also staying at home, so their employments are up by 28%. They were up 28% last month. I think they're running at about 10 or 11% for the year over what they were last year. So that's two things that are running against the recession, and I think it's primarily to do with the competition.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate your time here.
With the Solid Waste Division. This is my 23rd year.
Wow.
This little arrow here, is that? Oh, there we go. Okay. As you know, we also don't take money from property taxes, and we offer many services with the goal of reducing solid waste. The county has achieved a rate of 60% reduction, and we're moving toward 75% by the year 2015. One of the most important things is we want to do all this at a cost less than the cost of disposal. So we offer recycling collection to residents, processing and marketing of recyclables at the recycling center. One of our big programs in the last couple of years has been the ReBusiness Partners program, and essentially what this is an opportunity for us to work directly with businesses at their sites, and we dumpster dive and provide recommendations to help them to reduce waste. As you know, we became the Go Green County of the Year in the United States by the work that we did in helping the schools to reduce their waste very significantly. We have been offering in the last 2 or 3 years food waste composting collection at residents, at businesses, as well as a continuation of the residential collection through on-site composting, working with Cooperative Extension. We have 6 collection days for household hazardous waste. They typically bring in about 150 to 200 vehicles each. We opened up the Finger Lakes Reuse Center, which is a place where people can bring in and buy material that was already used. We're really looking forward to the expansion of the electronics and computer reuse, as well as the deconstruction services and the wood material in Burlington and other places. You can't even keep that stuff at the store. Everybody wants it. We've been working with a consortium to bring in environmental products at a cost that's comparable with other materials. The county uses 30% recycled paper, and it's the same price as virgin paper. That's a growing opportunity. We enforce many local laws, illegal dumping, trash tags, and mandatory recycling, and we have a lot of public information. A lot of what we've been doing is less related to paying for advertising, and it's much more grassroots events, tours, and again, education, both in businesses and schools. Of course, we deal with the hauling and disposal of garbage through a contract. Roughly speaking, about 3/4 of what we do is mandated through DEC regulations. Full-time equivalents. One of the things that happened a couple of years ago is I did away with a lot of consulting, and we started to do more to meet our goals with our own staff. We also, you can see that blip going up. That had to do with the development of the ReBusiness Partners program and the type of service that we provide. The Chamber of Commerce is thrilled with what we've been doing with businesses, and we've done over 200 businesses, and now we're actually going to be providing some more education once we give them recommendations as follow-up. But you can see that there's a blip that where we are now on the decline with respect to our staffing. I'm expecting that trend to take place over the next few years. We're going to have some retirements, and I've done an organizational chart for that opportunity, and I'm not expecting that we're going to hire new people. You can see our budget did go down, and we are taking $250,000 plus or minus from the fund balance, which is currently $1.2 million. I'll be talking to you about the disaster that took place in recycling in a minute or two and how that's going to impact the fund balance. We've drafted a request for proposal, which is a big deal. It takes about 9 months to award a contract to convert to single-stream recycling. That's out on the streets. We've had all kinds of vendors from all over the nation coming and looking at the site. I'm very excited about what I think we're going to see. We're also moving ahead with a transition contract for 3 years to be able to incorporate single-stream recycling, which, by the way, means everything in one bin. It's going to be great. It's going to be the most popular thing you're going to do over the next couple of years. I think your residents will be thrilled. We are greatly going to be increasing the amount of food waste from restaurants that's being composted because Cuba Compost, who we partner with in Trumansburg, is about to get a permit. We're going to do probably another 100 waste assessments for local businesses next year. And we are doing more. We've done quite a bit more of public education at schools, summer camps. And again, we keep doing the tours and the events. Okay. Well, most of my job for the first quarter was devoted to realizing and not panicking about the fact that there were no, the markets completely went kaput on paper. International commodities markets fail, the economic downturn. Based on my predictions, I was looking at about $500,000 loss in revenue, which would have quickly wiped out what we had available in the fund balance. I convinced you last November not to reduce the annual fee because I knew what I was seeing that lay ahead. I didn't think it was going to be quite that bad. The good news is that I'm estimating that we're going to lose about $285,000 instead of the $500,000. Markets in the last 60 days have improved and seem to be stable. They're not at the budget level. And so basically, a lot of what I've done with the budget for next year, including an increase in the annual fee that I'm proposing to go from $54 to $56, has all to do with the fact that these markets are certainly not going to completely bounce back over the course of the rest of the year and next year. The one thing I do need to mention is that I reduced my budget this year in March, knowing full well what could lie ahead. We reduced our budget by $190,000. That meant no travel. We cut out ads. We reduced our staff. We did a lot of things, and it will help. I still think we're going to wind up, even with that reduction, I'm going to look at whether I can take any further reductions, but I don't think so. Probably going to be about $100,000 loss, which means if we're going to take $250,000 out of the fund balance, we're going to lose another $100,000. Roughly speaking, that's $400,000 out of the fund balance of 1.2. That leaves us with about $800,000. That gets me nervous, and we really can't afford. I've tried to be moderate in increasing the fee because every $50,000 is about a buck on the annual fee, so it's about $100,000. Probably could have gone higher, but that wouldn't be very good to do at this point in time. Oops, wait. I talked to you about the increase in the residential contract for collection. Each of our contracts that involves transportation, whether they be leachate, garbage hauling, or recycling collection, all have increased about anywhere between 35 and 60% over the course of the last 6 years. We were tight. We had $1.20 per gallon cost. I didn't allow a fuel surcharge. Probably saved the county about $900,000, but we can't keep that up. All right, so basically all is intact through the county administrator process. reducing more costs in public information. I've significantly reduced contract expenses anywhere between 10 and 25% for a variety of contractual activities. I have increased some fees. The permits have been $5 for 3 years, which certainly is a drop in the bucket. We're going to double those. I am going to start charging for yard waste because it costs us about $80 a ton. Recycling bins are going up based on cost. I can't remember what it is. I have it in my sheets. And of course, garbage disposal is going up $5 per ton. Coupons are going to be $8 instead of $6. We've done some extensive calculations as to what happened this year. We've lost some money on that, and it also is going to cost more. We're working on the SUV coupons. I think they're going to be $12, the SUV and the minivans. So that's all in the fees that are going to be going to you. I guess that's it.
Okay. Any questions?
I've handed out a 5-year budget that you have in your packet, and I'm hoping to keep that annual fee at $56, barring any unforeseen like this year. And there is going to come a point where we will have paid off the debt service on a lot of our old borrowings, and probably in about 7 or 8 years, I think I'll still be here, but we will see the ability to reduce the annual fee fairly substantially at that point.
I'm sorry, how long and what?
7 or 8 years. We're done. We do have, we'll have some borrowing for the next 2015. Oh, that's when we want to achieve 75% reduction. Oh, that's interesting. All right, so that's about six, seven years. I'll still be here.
Carol Lenmark.
Yeah, Barb, have we made any inroads into reducing the volume? Reducing the volume of garbage or trash, and increasing the volume of recycling?
We reduced the volume of trash by a couple percent in the last year. We have not seen an increase. As a matter of fact, we've seen a decrease in recycling, and part of that has to do with the fact that there's less newspapers being bought, as well as people have not been making purchases. The amount of cardboard is way down, way down. I'm expecting, though, with the work that we've been doing in the last year with the ReBusiness Partners program, there's no question that the recyclables are going to be increasing. As far as composting, we've gone from zero in terms of tons to roughly 1,200 tons of material that's been composting in the last year. So that's a really good opportunity.
Another question I have is, you got two, right?
No. Roll it. Come on.
Okay. Plans to publicize the increase in fees.
Yeah, we actually had a meeting today. I do everything on a team basis. We do a team-based management approach in my office, and we've got a team of 5 people that all come into play in terms of what they do, and we are going to have an extensive public information approach. I cannot advertise these fees, though, until the board approves my budget. So at that point, there's the letting people know about the fees. There's letting people know about single stream recycling. Hopefully that will take place next summer. So there is a lot of activity that we need to do in terms of interfacing with the public. But of course, we have a communications person, and we have two decades of customer service experience. We see about 150,000 guests that roll through our facility every year.
Hi, Martha.
Barbara, tell me again, when was the last time the fee was increased?
Yes. We saw a 50... I'll turn this the right way. The fee was increased from 52, which was held for 4 years, to 54, and it's been that way for 2 years. And to be honest with you, I don't believe that we would have seen an increase. I'm sure we would have not seen an increase in the fee if it hadn't been for the catastrophic recycling revenue situation.
Okay, I'm really, really pleased about the composting issue, and if personal experience is anything, we can recycle and compost so much that we struggle to put one can out every 4 weeks. So then the other question is about, there was on the news about the TC Dog and their composting of dog waste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
let's not go there.
New York Times. No, it's all related to what the same company that's we're working with is doing the dog situation over there. And
dog situation.
well, what can I say? I use the dog park. Yeah.
Okay. So that's some more that's going to come out of.
Yeah. I mean, I've got in my head, and we're going to articulate this in the solid waste plan. Believe it or not, that we are now almost done with the 20-year plan, and we're now going to be next year developing the new 20-year plan that's going to take us from. Well, actually, the new 10-year plan that's going to take into account producer responsibility, environmental products, and a lot of other activities that's going to move us toward 75% reduction and so on. I'm desperately trying to be part of a book that I was asked to be a part of called World Waste. We are the only place in the United States other than San Francisco. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it. It's just an infinite amount of work, and I'm not a professor, but... In any event, we are doing well.
Because if people are concerned about the increase in the annual fee, the fact that you can get rid of so much without buying a garbage tag is offsets that. So
there's going to be a lot more that if I see what I'm going to see with the recycling center, I'm expecting more construction material recycling, a lot more electronics. And a rigid plastics, a whole lot more things that I'd like to see happen.
Thank you, Mike Cavery.
Rather than ask you a bunch of questions, you mentioned there was you had distributed a 5-year projection.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a separate document?
I don't know.
It was.
Pardon?
It's in your book.
Oh, okay.
It's in the big book in the.
All right. I'll take a look at that.
Here it is.
It's in the back of your section.
Barb, you expressed a considerable excitement about the coming of single-stream recycling. Mm. Talk a little bit about that. It's not immediately obvious to me why that's a good thing.
Yeah, essentially what happens is you set out your material in a bigger container, hopefully a closed container. Eventually we're going to move to specialized containers and a very efficient truck. That's after the next 3-year transition. All right, you set that material out. The processing center is going to be modified. The recycling center is going to be modified so that there'll be sorting at the facility. We are way behind the game on this one. This has been moving ahead rapidly over the last 5 years in the United States. The reason we're behind is because we had a contract that went till a certain time. The increase in participation amongst residents and businesses ranges from 15% to 30%. In terms of additional materials and additional participants. That's the good thing about it. It will cost a little more to process, a little less to collect. And the most important thing that I'm still planning to do at the facility is to have an area for the highest grade paper, whether it be shredded or whether it be the white stuff, the really good white stuff. So that the NYSEGs and the Tompkins County Trust and a lot of these places can actually come to us and we can pay them the way we have been paid. We're not paying for recyclables now, that's for sure. But if the stuff comes in separated, that gives us a huge revenue opportunity to increase our fund balance and decrease our fees over the next few years. So that's a big, big aspect. But you, as a customer, will not notice much of a difference except for the fact that it's easier, you're going to reduce the litter, and I think overall it will be a positive thing. There have been concerns over the years about marketing and lowering the value. A lot of those problems took place in the beginning, and a lot of it has to do with how you take care of glass and how that's done. We're going to see what these vendors say because we have companies, national companies that have many, many, many of these facilities all over the country. But this is the direction the industry is moving to. Now, the reason why I think this is the best thing in the world, apart from other reasons, is because we have an opportunity to have a 3-container system. One is recyclables, pretty big. One is compostables, also pretty big. and the other is a little bitty garbage can. I'm happy to report we're going to be rolling this out into the entire county, and if you come to our office, I have a garbage can that big by that big that's clipped to one of my desk drawers where I put my leftover waste. It's all nice and neat in our cafeteria, and our janitorial staff have been wonderful to work with, and it really will revolutionize the number of containers or the lack thereof that people are going to have. One of the things I'm hoping to do, I don't know if I put it out here, but I might as well, is there is an opportunity to collect from residents compost food waste, and I believe it can be done at a fairly inexpensive price, but it could wind up taking the form of a green tag instead of a regular tag that would cost a lot less than the cost of a garbage tag. That way, paper products can all be composted. That's above and beyond 75%. So we'll see what happens.
Any other questions?
Julie. I'm just curious why Freon removal is no longer part of the budget.
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I can't answer that. There's still a charge for it. And you always ask good questions.
It's one of those, we'll get back to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
When did they stop using Freon?
I'm sorry?
Well, I'm wondering when they stopped using Freon, because it may be that...
Well, no, this is the Freon that comes from refrigerators and things like that, and what happens is... What's that?
Is that even still an ingredient in refrigerators?
Oh, there's a lot of old appliances in this county. Yeah, it must certainly is.
May I make one comment before there's any questions? And it's an observation that Norm pointed out to me, that much of the public works staff stayed for each other's budget. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us. Anyone else want to have a question? If not, we're done. Thank you.
That's why. Yeah. I've seen it.